presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
X4 calling control tower. The X4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to the X4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves, coming in for another transcribed episode of the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, fellas and girls, do you know that there's a new way to bring planes in for landings which makes the whole operation virtually automatic? It enables a plane to land in all kinds of bad weather. Weather so soupy the pilot can't even see the ground. The plane is flown automatically and extremely accurately right down an invisible path in the sky, the path being a sloping radio beam sent up from the ground. No human hand has to touch the controls until the plane is almost ready to be set down on the runway. This new system is called Flight Path Control, or FPC for short. It's the nearest thing to a fully automatic landing that has ever been devised. Flight Path Control was developed by the Eclipse Pioneer Division of Bendix Aviation Corporation at Teterboro, New Jersey, a company which makes all kinds of miraculous instruments and accessories for aircraft. Of course, you all know that the problem of all-weather flight is one of the most serious in aviation today, and not only Bendix, but many other aircraft companies are constantly working on the problem. You've already heard about instrument landing system and ground control approach. These are also methods for bringing planes in through soupy weather. GCA employs radar and radio. ILS uses a radio beam and instruments. Now, Flight Path Control also uses a radio beam like ILS, but it goes a step further. With Flight Path Control, the plane is flown by an automatic pilot which does the job of the human pilot, and thus the possibility of human error is greatly reduced. More later, so don't forget to listen. And now for our story. An early morning sun rises in a smoky haze over the cypress groves and swamps of northern Louisiana, giving promise of a hot, humid day. A trim biplane arrows through the calm, breathless air, holding a steady course southward to New Orleans. And in the cabin, Hop and Tank sit quietly, almost grimly silent. Finally, Tank turned.
Yeah, we're making fast time. We'll be in New Orleans about 10.
Now, I've got a tailwind.
You know, Hop, when Paul answered the phone last night, you could have knocked me over with a feather.
And I was sure Vinny or Craig was behind the whole mess.
Now, maybe there's a mistake in the place. Maybe it was a coincidence.
I made the phone call not 10 minutes after Martindale.
Oh, Paul can't be the guy behind all this. Why should he try to wreck his own airline? Could be Craig or Vinny, but not Paul.
He might be trying to scare them out so he can buy up their shares cheap.
Nuts.
It's a possibility, sir. Now, in any case, we can't take any chances.
What do you mean by that?
Our own safety will have to keep Paul at arm's length. Don't tell him any more than we tell the others.
It ain't gonna be easy.
I know it.
So, what do we do now?
There's only one other man we can trust.
Who?
Inspector Fry.
Fry? You kidding?
More serious in my life.
But Hop, he was trying to pin a murder rap on us. He ain't nobody.
Inspector Fry is honest. He's only trying to do his job.
Yeah, a job setting us up for the electric chair.
The only way. We'll land at a small private field south of New Orleans and go to police headquarters. I want to talk to him before I see Paul. I'm going to sell him.
Inspector, I told you everything I know, from the very beginning up to the present.
And it's the honest truth.
All right, Tinker, get that chip off your shoulder. I didn't say it wasn't the truth.
Well, so do you still think we murdered Moran, the mechanic, sir?
Harrigan, now I'll lay my cards on the table. Not for 1 minute did I think you committed murder.
What?
Sorry, but I was trying to smoke out a lead. I thought if everyone saw I was concentrating on you two, well, then the real murderer would slip up.
Well, for Pete's sake. And has he slipped up?
Not so far.
Well, has what I've told you given you any ideas?
A couple. I think I'd better have a talk with this man, Martin.
Well, Inspector, before you do, would you help us?
If I can. But I'm after a murderer, Harrigan. Not someone who's trying to drive an airline out of business. That's not a criminal offense.
In this case, it is, sir. Two pilots were killed in the crash of a transport. Now, it wasn't an accident. That was cold-blooded murder, too.
I see what you mean.
And the guy who dreamed up the idea is just as guilty as the guy who did it for him.
Oh, yes, he is, Tinker.
And if you'll help us, sir, I think you can land both men.
All right. What do you want me to do?
Well, this is my idea, sir. It's a little tricky, but I think we can work it out all right. Tank and I will go back to the airport and...
Leaning forward in his chair, Hop confides his plan to Inspector Fry, who listens carefully, occasionally nodding his head. And at the end of a half hour, Hop and Tank leave. Now, a short while later, in the small office of the Ace Flying Service at the New Orleans airport, Paul Conroy is pacing the floor anxiously as his two partners, Vinny and Craig, watch him, their faces blank.
It should have been back hours ago. Something's happened to them.
Take it easy, Paul. They'll show up sooner or later.
I'll wait one more hour. If they're not here then, I'm going to look for them.
Do you know where to look?
Well, yes, I think so. The field was somewhere west of Little Rock.
You'd be going off in a wild goose chase. Forget it, Paul.
Forget it. Vinny, you don't know what you're saying. Hop and Tank were risking their lives to save us.
They'd be looking for a needle in a haystack. Besides, how can you be so sure they're in trouble? Maybe they've run out.
Run out?
Paul, I know they're friends of yours, but after all, look at it sensibly. They're suspected of murder. Maybe they took this opportunity.
Shut up, Peter.
Hey, take it easy, Paul. I'm not so sure Vinny isn't right.
Oh, you're not?
I told you before, they haven't brought anything but trouble. Things were okay till they got here.
You call those ghost planes okay?
Well, they didn't crash into our ships then. I'm sorry, Paul. They're friends, I know, but I consider myself a friend, too, and I don't like to see you asking for trouble.
Now, look here, Bert.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't you two start fighting.
Well, I certainly don't want to fight, but when he lets a couple of guys play him for a
second... That's enough, Bert. Cut it out, you two. We have enough headaches without this. We've got to stick together.
Well, you're right, Vinny. I'm sorry, Paul. I shouldn't have said anything, me. I guess I'm wrong anyway.
You are, both of you.
All right, forget it. Now, look, what about that letter? We've got to decide today. Mason won't wait much longer.
He's offering a good price, Paul.
Good. I'll lose my shirt and you know it. We'll all be losing something.
But this way we'll get a little back. The airline won't be a total loss.
If we don't call Mason today, he'll withdraw his offer. And Lord knows if we'll ever find another buyer.
Be sensible, Paul. Only Hop and Tank would get here.
What can they do?
Well, maybe they know the answer to the mystery. And there wouldn't be any more trouble and we could guarantee our cargo's getting through.
Frankly, I doubt it. The line's got a black eye and it'll keep it.
Come on, Paul. Be sensible.
Will you please stop using that word?
Oh, sorry.
I don't understand you, Vinny. Nor you, Craig. I thought you both wanted this line. It's something we build ourselves from the bottom up.
Look, nobody feels worse about it than I do. But I can't go on like this.
We're being realistic. We're getting out while there's still something to salvage.
Now, come on, Paul. Let's make it unanimous. Then we can call Mason and wash our hands of the whole matter.
I still don't like
this. Hey, hold it. Hold it. Come in.
Morning,
Paul. Hi, Jack. Great Scott, I'm worried sick over you. You all right?
Yeah, we're fine. Retired, but still kicking.
Well, glad to see you, Howard.
Yeah, sit down. You both look dead.
Thanks. What happened? Did you find anything?
No, I'm afraid not, Paul.
Then it was a blind lead?
I don't know.
We didn't hang around long enough to find out.
What do you mean?
We got to the place we saw the night before, walked into the barn, and... Next thing we knew, we were sitting in a couple of chairs all tied up.
What?
Yeah, somebody came up behind us and conked us with a lead pipe.
Hey, that's terrible. They managed to break loose and escape through a window. Then we walked.
And how we walked? For miles. Finally, we got a lift back to the field where we left the beach, and here we are.
Didn't you see who knocked you out?
No. Too dark.
Then you don't know what the score is.
I'm afraid not, Paul. I don't think we'll ever know.
This case is too tough for us.
Oh, I see. Okay, fellas, you win.
What do you mean, Paul?
Exactly what I said. I'm ready to sell out. With a hopeless gesture, Paul turns away. Hop and Tank watch him narrowly and also look for a reaction on the part of the other two partners. What are the boys doing? Why have they admitted failure?
Gang, there's action and suspense ahead, so stand by. Now to learn how a plane lands with flight path control, the new all-weather landing system developed by Bendix Aviation Corporation. Remember I told you that the system uses the sloping radio beam sent up from the ground? Well, it also uses the Bendix automatic pilot and a remarkable device called the flight path computer. The automatic pilot and the computer are both on the plane. The computer is the nerve center or brain of the system. You might say it does the thinking for the entire operation. It takes the radio beam signal sent to it by equipment on the ground and translates it into terms of left, right, up or down information for the automatic pilot to follow. Even if the wind tries to blow the ship off the beam, the computer tells it to crab into the wind and stay on the beam. Get the idea? All right, now suppose we make an imaginary landing with this system. Our plane approaches an airport, which we'll say is completely obscured by fog. But up out of this fog comes the radio beam. Our plane is being flown by the automatic pilot, known technically as the PB-10. Our human pilot switches on the flight path computer. Now, when our plane intersects the radio beam, the computer will go to work and direct the plane right down the beam, and the plane will be kept right in the exact center of the beam. Also, it will fly at a constant airspeed. As it finishes its ride down the invisible beam and comes in over the runway, the entire automatic equipment is disengaged at the lowest altitude that the glide may be conveniently flared out. Then the landing is completed by the human pilot. The great value of this system, gang, is this. It provides an accurate means of bringing a ship down through weather which human eyes can't pierce. When you get set to fly, you'll be in the safest aircraft in the world. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. It is early evening at the New Orleans airport, where Hop and Tank are standing by the hangar watching the loading of a giant Ace Flying Service DC-4. They speak in guarded tones.
Everything working out okay, Hop, so far. Any of the boys made any phone calls?
Yeah, but nothing important. I've been going crazy trying to keep my eyes on.
Same here.
They all tried to use the phone, but when I poked my nose in, they laid off.
Paulo?
Not so much as Vinny and Craig. And Hop?
Yeah.
I checked the phone number in the office. It was a number Martin called last night. So maybe it was an accident that Paul answered.
Maybe, but we're still not taking any chances.
Roger. Here come Paul and Craig.
Hello, fellas. All squared away?
Yeah, it's just about. It's your last trip to the line, too. I hate to see it go.
No, don't think about it, Paul.
Well, who's going to take the flight, Vinny?
No, he's a little rattled.
Huh?
You know how it is. This flight passes over that same area.
Then who is going out? A couple of boys who just got in. They don't know anything about the ghost planes.
I see. Paul, how about Mason? Have you made arrangements with him?
Yes, we'll sign the papers and make it official tomorrow morning.
That's too bad. Sorry I couldn't help you.
Don't forget it. Well, good evening, gentlemen.
What's Inspector Fry?
That's right.
Well, good evening, Inspector. What do you want? Got some more phony evidence?
Not quite yet. But I'm working on it, Tinker. As a matter of fact, I think I'll have all I need tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And Mr. Craig.
Yes, sir.
That's one of your planes, isn't it?
That's right.
Going out tonight?
In a few minutes.
Good. I time myself very nicely.
What do you mean?
I'd like to go along.
Oh,
and I want Mr. Harrigan and Mr. Tinker to pilot the plane.
We already have our pilot.
Sorry, but I insist. Not only that, I'd like your company. You, Mr. Conroy, you, Mr. Craig, and... Oh, where's your other partner?
Vinny? He's in the ship supervising the loading.
Good. We'll ask him to join us also.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Inspector. This is a cargo flight, not a joyride.
I don't intend to go joyriding.
Then why do you want to go up?
Because I'm looking for a murder, Mr. Conroy. I think I'll find him. Tonight.
His face devoid of expression, Inspector Fry stares at Hop, Tank, Paul, and Craig in turn, and then walks purposely toward the waiting DC-4. Gang, the riddle of the ghostly Avengers moves to a smashing climax in our next action-packed episode. So be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves. Come on, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.